shake that thing, miss. You wanna shake that thing, miss.
Na 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 na, shake that thing, miss.
Na 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 na, don't let on the baker.
I don't get busy.
Gonna shake that, put it on yourself. Gonna be drunk, just get jiggy, little bit busy. Gonna go.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
This is it, right here, Cody. You put on those headphones and you go to work.
Why are you yelling?
This is where our message is heard.
It's time to get hype. Say it with me.
What are we saying?
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Meet Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Get some.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Sean Paul's a man.
Sean Paul is a young man, isn't he?
Sean Paul?
Isn't Sean Paul old or is he young?
I think he's old now.
Is he?
Yeah. But you know it's summer when Sean Paul is on.
When Sean Paul's on, he is. Oh, no. He's 45.
He's old now.
Yeah, he's like old. He's not like old. But he's like old. Musician old.
Right. He's old musician.
Right.
Old musician old.
Right.
But yo, it's summertime. It was feeling like summertime today. I mean, I'm at work. I'm like exercising at work because I'm packing boxes all the time.
Right
now because the Warcraft auction just ended. And I was like, man, I'm really like getting my podcast in because I'm like up on my feet and like doing the thing. And then I was like, it's summer. I need to hear my summer stuff. And Sean Paul, Dutty Rock, is my summer stuff.
What?
Bro, that album is fire. I've just revisited it today. It is amazing.
I can't even look you in the face right now.
Dude, oh my God.
You're blinding me.
It has everything. Just give me the light and pass the draw. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. I remember. I also remember those terrible dreads.
Oh, the cornrows?
The cornrows. Those terrible cornrows. He had the cornrows.
Give me the light. So give me the light. Light glue.
Right.
Do, 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 do. I don't want to care what people say. I don't really watch what them one do. You weren't feeling that stuff?
Nah, man. That wasn't my jam. Not in 02.
I'm still in love with you?
No, man.
Bro. For real, you're killing me right now. I thought you would dig this like vibe music.
Sean Paul and I, we didn't really get along. I was busy listening to, you know, I don't know, Eminem at the time.
Oh, but you got to dance though.
Nelly, Hot in Here was there. That was one of my jams.
Hot in. That was your summer? That was a summer jam.
That was. I'm going down, baby. No. Mario, Just a Friend.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, baby, you got what I need, girl. You say he just a friend.
But I was a big fan of that.
I want to know your name, gang.
What else was really big in that time?
I'm telling you, Dutty Rock.
I don't know, man.
Like, when that song comes on, all right, when I hear I'm Still in Love with You, that's the one that's like, no, you make me holler and you make me sweat. I can't feel your tenderness. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Oh, that's the dirty, dirty love.
Yeah.
I'm still in love with you, boy.
What do you think the number one song in 2002 was?
Give Me the Light.
You think so?
Just give me the light. Or what's the one? Is it Sean Paul?
No.
Is it Get Busy?
No, you're not going to get this.
What is it?
Okay, I'm going to actually do the top 10 songs according to Billboard Magazine's top 100 hot 100 songs for 2002.
Okay.
You ready? Number 10, Blurry by Puddle of Mud.
What was that one?
Everything is blurry and I don't know what's real.
You got to be in the car like kind of pissed.
That's a terrible, terrible song.
I know what you're doing.
I don't know what's real.
Can you take it all away?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. There were some little angsty times in college with that one.
That's good. Number 9, You Got a Bad, Usher.
Oh.
So good, so good.
Okay.
Number eight, What's Love, Fat Joe featuring Ashanti.
Great tune.
Great job.
I used to spin that song at my frat house. SAE, stand up, Frostburg, Maryland, DJO.
Get him. Number seven, In the End by Linkin Park.
Okay.
In the end,
it doesn't even matter. A lot of angst.
Number six, A Thousand Miles, Vanessa Carlton.
A Thousand Miles.
Yeah. And I would walk. Remember that?
Yeah,
she played the piano.
And you know I'd walk a thousand miles
if I could just whatever it is.
I used to change the radio.
Right, right. Number five, Where Will You Go? Wherever You Will Go by The Calling. Do you remember this song?
Wherever You Will Go.
I don't remember this song.
No, I don't know. Dude.
I would know this song if I heard this song. And here it is. Oh my God.
Oh, I'll go wherever you will go.
Oh man, that song.
Way up high or down low.
I'll go wherever you will go.
Wow. I thought that was Nickelback.
Man, nope, nope. Number four, Dilemma, Nelly featuring Kelly Rowland.
Baby, I love you and I need you. Nelly, I love you.
Boom.
Wow.
Number three, Hot in Here by Nelly.
Wow. Nelly was on fire.
Nelly was on fire, man. I'm telling you. I told you.
I know he was big.
Number two, Foolish by Ashanti.
Which one was that? Oh, Foolish.
Foolish was Foolish by Ashanti. I can't even remember how the lyrics go right now. Hold on a second.
Ja had to be in it. Ja was in it.
Ja was there. Come on.
Foolish. Oh, yeah. She stole the Biggie beat.
Because I can't live without you.
That's why it was hot. And that was the one where Missy came on it on the remix. She was like, they're going to mix it with Biggie. It was all a dream. Like, damn, that's hot.
It was a cut up?
Yeah.
So number one song.
Get busy. Dance.
Here we go.
Sean Paul.
Number one song. Here we go. Get ready for this.
Sean Paul.
I'm gonna play it. Nobody's gonna be able to guess it. Hold on.
Nickelback. Wow.
Oh, I hated this band so much.
Not like you to say sorry.
Me, what I mean. Man, they were so big.
I don't mind Nickelback.
I can't stand them.
But just
to give you a little, I know, to finish what you were going to say.
I remember I asked the You Don't Know Ish girls, Jen and Shayna. Happy birthday, Shayna, by the way.
Happy birthday, Shayna.
I asked them to look into, like, tell us some ish about why people hate Nickelback so much. And they really, really, like, analyzed that shit. And there's not a real answer other than the fact that they are very calculated and very...
They're a formulaic band hits the same thing over and over again.
That's right.
However, I think it's more than that.
Really?
I think it is a nation's want to hate another nation's musician.
Right. They know they're Canadian.
Right.
And... I mean, but like songs like, I remember we probably talked about this before, but that one song that's like, because we all just want to be big rock stars.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that song.
It's terrible.
I'm fine with it.
It's a bad song.
But let me say this.
I'm listening.
There's a place.
In your heart.
In my heart and in this world.
Right.
That's called Secrets. And it is a place in Ocean City, Maryland.
Is this a strip club?
No, it is not. It
sounds like a strip club, Dan.
Secrets.
Secrets?
Secrets. Like S-E-A. Like the C.
Like secretes?
Secrets. It's called Secrets, Jamaica, USA.
Okay.
These motherfuckers at Secrets. This is like the biggest, baddest beach club in Ocean City, Maryland on a 9-mile island.
Like really ripped dudes sweating.
All kinds of people go
listening
there.
To like, Foolish by Ashanti.
Yeah.
My days are cool without you.
It is like the baddest beach club in Ocean City. Has the great food during the day. Then it's like great like waiting. Like they have it's right up on the bay. they've got like these tables in the bay water, these like Red Bull tables, so you can just, it's like swim up, you can just sit there, half your body's in the water, you're drinking, right, you're pissing yourself, you're like, you're having a good time, you're drinking like dirty bananas and that type of stuff, and like,
foolish man,
when I hear
foolish,
I'm still in love with you by fucking Sean Paul, I am at Secrets Jamaica USA. John Densmore used to work there. He did their video stuff.
So according to this billboards, Sean Paul doesn't show up on this list until number 74. And guess what song it is?
Until number 74?
Number 74. Guess what song it is?
Get Busy?
Give Me the Light.
Just Give Me the Light. 74?
74.
Dude, that was a banger.
Yeah, 74. He loses to... No Doubt, Hella Good, Enrique Iglesias, Escape.
Oh, Escape's great. Is that the one that's like, here's how it goes, you and me, and it's this time it's getting back. Yes. We
can fight, your love matters.
Dude, when I was a DJ at Frostburg for my fraternity, but like other sororities would ask me to go to their formal and be their DJ.
Yeah.
And I remember I played that song by Enrique Iglesias like 5 times in a row.
Song's so great.
Baby, you can run. You can run, you can hide, but you can't escape my love.
Yeah, so good.
What a jam.
Man. But
like, I'm telling you, look it up. Secrets in Ocean City. I've got to take you there.
Secrets.
Jenny, I took Jenny there for the first time. That place is where she says she fell in love with me. At Secrets.
Is it because of the environment? It makes people fall in love with each other?
Bro, it's magical. It has a secret. Secrets has a secret entrance for locals, for members. They have a secret
entrance. You pay to be a member?
Yeah, I think so. And like they have a dance club. They have a vibrating floor. They play the Super Bowl there. Like there are fights in there. There are like people are hooking up in there. You can be there all day.
So it's Maryland's Studio 52. Or 54.
Yeah, it really is. Wow. That place, Secret.
That guy's head city council member. Look at him grinding up on that preteen.
Just doing blow off her nipples.
What?
That's crazy. And he's drinking a Natural Light.
Secret.
But that place, they purchase the most Natural Light beer in the United States.
What does that mean? Like, the most natural, you mean the brand, Natural
Light Beer, yeah.
There's no way you mean for one place.
9 Mile Island, yeah.
Okay.
They are right. Buying, you can get tanked there. Anybody looking for a place to go in Ocean City, if you don't go to Secrets, you ain't never been to Ocean City. How about that?
I have been to Ocean City, never been to Secrets.
You never been, Cody? You have never been to Ocean City?
But I've been. Like, what? I have pictures of me on the beach walking.
I think a lot of people beg to differ.
I peed in a hallway of a hotel because there were no toilets out on the beach.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because I entered on a far, far southern end of the beach by a hotel, and I couldn't go, and I really had to pee, so I just peed in the hallway of a hotel.
Was it the Clarion?
I don't remember what it was. My buddies might know.
Were you drunk, at least?
Not drunk at all.
You just peed in a hotel lobby?
Peed in it, no big deal. Who cares?
You're a rock star.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a big deal. I was a rebel at the time in my life, and I have since moved forward. Anyway.
I'm still in love. Sean Paul. It's summertime. Sean Paul is everything.
All right, so it's summertime. So you guys get it? Dan, what's going on, man?
I'm a little upset with IHOP. That's for damn sure.
Don't be mad about it.
I don't like...
They got a new menu, buddy.
I'm not a fan of rebranding. We had a tough rebrand for Dan and Cody. And we still didn't even rebrand it as much as IHOP.
IHOP's a whole new name.
This is so risky.
You think it is?
Because everybody thought it was International House of Breakfast, which made motherfucking sense.
Those people that don't watch television or read the news or anything like that, mm-hmm. when they go out for breakfast and they're like, we couldn't find the IHOP. The IHOP that used to be there is now IHOB.
IHOB. That sounds awful. And they're still going to do pancakes.
Of course, man. They're not going to stop making breakfast. All they have now is like a customized burger menu and they have new meats.
So, you guys, if you've been living under a rock, the internet's furious. IHOP, International House of Pancakes, is changing their name to IHOB with a B, International House of Burgers.
Yeah, they're changing it up. They want to be known for burgers because that's what it's all about. They're taking on the counter. They're taking on all these cool burger joints. They're gonna mix it up.
Do we need another burger joint?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Oh my gosh, there's not enough burger joints, man.
Are we gonna go eat a burger there?
Are you kidding me?
I can't go there and not
the
have pancakes.
Ken and I are lonely.
Like, I have to
and
get
we're
pancakes.
We're going to E3. And we're going to stop at IHOB and have a burger for you and me.
No, man. I got to. If I get a burger there, I also have to get pancakes. You can't go there and not get pancakes.
Dude, they have a pancake burger, bro. Just chill.
Are you serious?
I have no idea. I haven't seen the menu. What do you think I am? A savant? You think I can read the minds of corporate America? Get out of here.
I looked up like a bunch of places that rebranded and it cost them billions of dollars. A couple of them, BP. They rebranded after the oil spill and the whole, like,
they're still BP though. They're still known as BP.
Right, but they've like they changed the logo and that stuff costs like billions of dollars. Even changing the B on IHOP. They have to get rid of all their cups. They have to get rid of all their signs. They have to get rid of all the menus. They have to get rid of all of the promotional stuff. They have to get rid of all the commercials. They are like, you don't think about that. They changed one letter of their logo. One letter from a P to a B. They flipped it upside down. That's going to cost billions of dollars.
Millions.
I think a billion.
No, man. How much is IHOP worth?
I mean, I don't know. But
their valuation.
I agree. I mean, I'm sure pancakes aren't like a big seller these days with brunches. Like cool Sunday brunch spots, like independent, like not chain restaurant brunches, right. But still.
Yeah, dude. Do you want to know in 2000, this is an old number. I don't like this number.
Like Denny's is killing it still. They got to be killing it.
Who? I don't know.
But like Pepsi's rebrand. Remember they changed their logo?
Pepsi?
Yeah. They like put a little smile in it.
Yeah.
That cost like $1 billion to do.
Pepsi's always rebranding though. They have done it a ton. Like if you think back to when you were a kid and you think about
yeah,
to
they
now,
had like the stripes.
How many times has Pepsi rebranded their logo?
A shitload.
A shitload.
Right. But they're Pepsi.
It's an era thing.
I think here's my vision. Nostradamus, IHOB is going to go back to IHOP and they're going to issue an apology. And they're going to be like, we fucked up. Because nobody wanted to come in here and eat pancakes. And nobody damn sure didn't want to come in here and eat burgers.
Dude, they're basically Denny's. I don't understand why you're thinking this way. They're basically Denny's.
They've basically told Denny's, y'all won. Y'all won the breakfast thing.
No, they didn't.
I see it as defeat.
No way. When you think Denny's, you think immediately breakfast?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I.
I've never not had pancakes at Denny's ever, and I've never not had pancakes at IHOP.
You've had moon over my hammy.
Maybe a bite.
Oh come on, man!
I'm a breakfast guy.
Moon's over my hammy's a breakfast sandwich, bud.
This upsets me, Cody.
I know. I can tell how frustrated you are, and I wanna console you, but at the same time, I also wanna keep you quiet. I don't want you out there like
Just shut up, Dan.
Let IHOP be IHOP, man.
Shut your mouth, eat this burger.
And you're going to eat this burger, and you're going to be like, this is the best thing I've ever fucking had.
Do you think there's any chance it'll be good? The burger?
Yeah.
You think it could be a good burger?
I think if they're willing to take the B seriously, I think it could be.
Well, they better. Good. They changed their fucking name to burgers. Do you know how big of a thing that is?
Hey, They're trying to mix it up. I'm going to say they're bold.
It's a complete rebrand.
I'm going to say they're bold.
They're changing the restaurant.
They are bold.
Bro, this is like, I don't think you get how big this is. What if Pizza Hut was like, we are now cereal.
Pizza cereal.
We're selling cereals now.
So now they're Cereal Hut.
We're a Cereal Hut.
Yeah, but IHOP and
insanity.
IHOP and IHOB are, it's too close. It's not that big of a rebrand.
How can you be the International House of Pancakes and then completely flip it to burgers.
Okay, so just so we...
You cannot be both.
Just so people know, the International House of Pancakes debuted a new line of steak burgers to prove that their chain is just as serious about burgers as it is about the world-famous pancakes. It's flipped the P to a B, effectively changing IHOP to IHOB, right?
Right.
They said it's been reflected for the time being. So that means that it's likely they'll go back to IHOP.
I bet you Twitter is going insane. I bet you people are like furious.
Okay, are you ready for me to tell you a little bit about these burgers?
Yes.
New burgers made with 100% USDA choice black Angus ground beef. Okay?
Ooh.
Right? Let me tell you some
Everyone
of the burgers.
Everyone throws around this black Angus thing.
There's a brunch burger. There's a cowboy barbecue burger. There's a jalapeno kick burger, mushroom and Swiss burger, the classic with bacon. And of course, the mega monster, which is two patties, two cheeses, lettuce, tomatoes, onions, pickles, and signature sauce.
They already have a signature sauce.
Yeah, it's called the IHOB sauce, bro.
We got to go there and we really need to like evaluate.
Sure. Sure.
What is up?
Just so you know, they take an onion ring and they put an egg in the middle of the onion ring. They fry the egg in it.
Interesting.
Uh-oh, that's McFly.
McFly! Hello.
He's a good dog. He's one of the better dogs in the world.
I don't know. I don't like it. My first reaction is this is a massive overreaction.
Don't you worry, Dan. It's okay. The world's still spinning. We're still in the same place we are in space that we've been for billions of years. Just believe in yourself.
I always believe in myself. I don't believe in IHOB, International House of Breakfast.
Well, there you have it.
Of burgers.
You're going to be okay.
All right.
Hello there, Dank Odies. I am Joe Merle.
I am Phil.
And together we are Those Movie Guys Podcast here with your weekly movie recommendations. And Phil, this week I am going with 2001's Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. And I chose that because I watched
it this week,
and I even thought about that too. I said, man, I want to say Return of the King. But you got to start at the beginning. This isn't one of those things where you got to have that established presence of all these characters. It hasn't aged extremely well, but it's still a ton of fun and one of the greatest stories ever told by one of the most prolific modern authors. So that is my recommendation. And Phil, what do you got for us this week?
I got 2002, a Brett Ratner directed book series by Thomas Harris, and that is Red Dragon.
Ooh, very nice.
A decent remake. You know, it's never going to be the original, but I feel like Edward Norton did well, and Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter is always a win, even if the rest of the movie's kind of, yeah.
And what was the Manhunter was the original. Okay.
Yeah. Got it. Just a good Lecter story. I like those serial killer type, spider's web like type deal. Like, how was it? Morgan Freeman did a couple of those.
Oh, yeah.
They're fun to watch, and it's a really interesting character of Lecter.
And it is I would say kind of an underappreciated of the series. I like it next to Silence of the Lambs even more than I would say Hannibal. I do like Red Dragon. So those are your picks for this week, folks. We've got Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Rings, and Red Dragon. So definitely give those two a go and be excited about lots of things. And for Those Movie Guys Podcast, I am Joe Merle.
I am Phil.
And we'll be back next week with more movie recommendations.
So I had an idea.
What's your idea?
So I was thinking, I'm driving down the street, and I see like this, you know, the lock the room you go in, and they lock you in there, and you have to escape these escape rooms.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's looking for these crazy experiences.
Right.
Right? What if I made an event space? And what we did is I have like different sets from famous movies.
Okay.
Right? Everybody dresses up like the character that they want to be in the movie. So, for example.
All right.
Right? Say they're at the Avengers Tower. Mm-hmm. Right? And somebody wants to dress up like Iron Man. And somebody wants to be Captain America. And they want to do some kind of famous Captain America Iron Man scene.
Yeah.
In Avengers Tower. No big deal. So, what you do is they have them come in. They dress them all up. They get ready. You have a camera on them. You say action, but instead of running the lines, they do forced bloopers.
forced bloopers.
Yeah, so you know how like at the end of the movie they have the bloopers from the movies?
Yeah.
So they do forced bloopers. They don't try and do it. They try and do bloopers. And then what you do is you sell them on a bloopers package and the place is called Bloopers.
Are you kidding me?
No, no.
This sounds terrible.
What is bad about this?
Well, one, all right, here's what's bad. You're counting on anyone going to this place having a full Iron Man costume.
No, I'm just using that as an example. It could be anything. It could be Godfather, like a period piece.
So he's got to bring his own suit?
No. Like it's like when you go and you get those pictures of the Westerns taken and everybody's dressed up in these uniforms. You go, Bloopers supplies you with all of the gear for the scene.
Okay.
You walk into the scene, cameras rolling, they say action. And then you do the bloopers that should be in the scene.
I think it's better if they actually try to act.
Oh, this is terrible. No, man.
And then the bloopers just happen. Because they're not going to be good.
No, man. This place is called Bloopers.
Right.
If they do the real thing, then it can't be called Bloopers.
But you come for the real thing and you leave with the blooper. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like
you come to Bloopers expecting to do bloopers from your scenes of your favorite movies.
But the funniest...
You've never seen bloopers from The Godfather, have you? Wouldn't you like to see yourself playing The Godfather doing the bloopers?
But Cody, you would agree with me that the funny thing about bloopers is that they happen naturally.
The funny thing about bloopers is that they're bloopers, Dan.
You're not going in there trying to create bloopers.
You're killing bloopers, man.
You're not letting
bloopers get off the ground. I need you to be on board with this.
So you have Average Joe. You have Average Joe who wants to dress up like Iron Man. And Average Jim
wants to dress up like Captain America. Too much on the Iron Man. Let's do something else. Let's do like my... Nope. Let's do...
Drop Dead Fred. Somebody wants to be Fred. Somebody wants to be the girl
that Phoebe Cates.
Yeah. She imagines Fred.
She's a crazy person that has an invisible friend that lasts into her 30s.
So we put them in a room and we say, welcome to Bloopers. Do the scene... And do a couple takes, right?
No.
And then they come out and they're like, here's your blooper, because they fucked up so much.
No.
And then they're like, oh my God, you were filming that the whole time?
Isn't it funnier to see somebody force the scene to basically try and do bloopers?
No.
Yes.
Because try.
I need you to think abstractly, Dan. This is an abstract idea. You expect them to come in to do the scene. But the reality is they come into bloopers to do bloopers. What's harder to do? Force yourself to try to be accidentally funny? Exactly. Nothing's funnier than when somebody tries to be funny.
To attempt funny.
Badness.
Okay.
Bloopers.
So they would come in.
To do the bloopers to the movies you've never seen bloopers for.
They'd purposefully slip on the floor and then pop back up.
Exactly.
That was weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Cody, I do not want to go into this with you.
You're hurting me, man.
Shark Tank would say, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You actually had the idea the first time where you let people come in and reenact those movies.
Yeah.
And you let them reenact their favorite scene.
It sounds a little like Race to the Scene.
Oh, shut up.
A little bit.
Not at all.
Sort of.
It's bloopers, man. Anyway, this was my bloopers idea. I was really hoping the bloopers idea would take off with you. I thought you'd be on board, but apparently you're not into bloopers like I am. Huge blooper fan. I would love to see other people play the actors and intentionally do the bloopers that I would hope would be at the end of every movie, but they're not.
It's like but I'm into natural bloopers.
These are natural.
Not if you're trying.
Though you're telling me that those actors in the bloopers reels aren't trying?
Yeah, I'm thinking that's what's funny, is that they are trying to be bad. They are trying to be great, and they're being bad.
Okay, well, you know.
And then they laugh at it, like, your pants fall down while you're talking.
Bloopers.
How do you accidentally do that?
Bloopers.
How do you purposefully accidentally do that?
I don't know, man. Bloopers, though. Bloopers Instagram. Check it out.
Guys, if you want to get in on this, Cody's got a GoFundMe page set up. It currently has $17. All given by KMFred
at gmail.com. That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, good luck. Best of luck with that.
Thanks, man.
It might be as good as International House of Burgers.
Don't be hating. So, what do you got, man?
Well, I'm hungry. I got a little snack here. What was that, a gnat?
Yeah, we got like mosquitoes or something in the house.
So for a couple weeks, I went with my dad and my wife and my daughter to a to the Discovery Science Center, and I forgot. I brought back some snacks for me and Cody, and it's astronaut ice cream, and I don't remember ever eating this stuff. So I wanted to give it a go here.
Does it pop? Okay, so just so people know, like it feels like spongy from outside the package.
This is ice cream sandwich.
But this is freeze-dried. So it's freeze-dried ice cream, and it looks like it's Spumante. Spumante is vanilla, strawberry, and chocolate. What's Spumante? Green. Green pistachio?
Spumante.
Yeah.
Here's what the bag...
There's like a mix of these, and it's like Spumante is like... I thought it was these three. I always thought it was vanilla, strawberry, and chocolate.
But listen to what's...
Neapolitan. What is it?
Yeah, Neapolitan's the chocolate, vanilla, strawberry.
Spumante's that restaurant Tim and I saw the other day.
Spumante.
Madeline's dad and his wife are here listening to us do this podcast. So.
Yeah, in front of a live audience.
In front of a live studio audience. There are.
I'm gonna read the back of this thing. It says, "Freeze dried, ready to eat. Enjoy your ice cream just as the astronauts do, the freeze dried way."
So vanilla's in the middle.
You got vanilla in yours.
You're gonna have vanilla in yours.
It says they continue these. They say that these things continue to be used on NASA missions today.
So it looks and it feels like chalk. Have you ever had this, Tim, Pamela?
You want to try it?
You want to try this? No, thank you.
So we got a no.
So I'm eating it right now. I'm eating the vanilla. Because I'm a vanilla guy. Oh, this is interesting.
Hmm.
Oh, have you tried this? Oh, Spumante is, what is it? It's three layers of fruit nut layer between them. Ice cream layers are often mixed with whipped cream, cherry pistachio, and either chocolate or vanilla. Okay. So it's cherry, not strawberry.
Yep.
Okay.
Mine is all right. The first bite kind of sucks.
Madeline, you should try this.
But once it melts in, it's all right.
So basically, just so people know, the ice cream is not cold. What are the chances? And it is. It reminds me of marshmallows from Lucky Charms.
Yeah, yeah. It's very.
I think that's what marshmallows from Lucky Charms are.
Right.
Do you want to try this, Pamela?
Yours is Neapolitan, man.
This is the.
That's an ice cream sandwich.
I don't know. Yeah, this is try this because you get a little more of the consistency.
Like, if you're in space, would you be like, all right, this suffices? No?
No.
You're not into it.
Pamela's like, I will never, ever eat that.
That's like, well.
Pamela's like, no, thank you.
Well, I don't know, man.
So,
that being said,
let me tell you a little something.
Okay, I want to hear your story.
Astronaut ice cream,
yeah,
is a lie that we've been fed our entire lives. What it says on this package is utter and complete bullshit. This has not been on every mission. Astronauts do not eat this stuff. According to Vox. Here's the article. Any space enthused kid has endured the crumbly, chalky, agglomeration of flavors known as astronaut ice cream. We deal with it because of the supposed connection to the lives of real space explorers.
So you're upset because you think they're selling a false dream.
Yeah. This is total crap. The only problem is that astronaut ice cream is a lie. This legendary childish children's treat has a surprisingly murky history. Apollo 7, identified by Wikipedia as the only flight to harbor the chalky ice cream. when I asked astronaut Walt Cunningham, the sole surviving member of the crew, about it, he said, we never had that stuff.
What did they eat?
Not this.
Did they tell you what they ate?
And like they looked back at the transcripts.
Sorry, I forgot. I'm throwing stuff on the ground.
Hmm?
He didn't. He's reading it off of an article.
This is off an article.
From Vox Media, the same people that do The Verge, which is a great tech website. And they also, I don't know what else they do. That's all I know that they do. But I know they do other things. And, like they interview astronauts.
And actually, never. And actually, these things are very problematic, would be very problematic in space. The crumbs would actually fuck with the mechanics of the machines up there. Like, these little crumbs would get into your dashboards and really screw you up because they're so damn crumbly. They got on... That's the... John Young, he was reprimanded for sneaking a corned beef sandwich on board during the Gemini program. Breadcrumbs would easily float into the instruments.
So he shot into space... With a corned beef sandwich in his mouth?
He had a corned beef sandwich on board. And I guess he like revealed it once they were in space.
Hey guys, check out my corned beef sandwich. I don't know if you accounted for that weight.
They're like, put that corned beef sandwich away. You're going to mess up our instruments.
I don't know, man. This crumbliness, it's weird.
But here's the thing.
I like moist ice cream.
Here's what they say. They say it teaches kids that something terrible for space travel is what astronauts eat. If kids want to eat astronaut ice cream, they should just enjoy delicious real ice cream as real astronauts.
Do you think astronauts would take Pop Rocks into space?
No, I don't think so. But so I'm just upset that this whole thing's bullshit. I feel gypped.
How many days of your life do you go out and you say to yourself, man, I could use some of that astronaut dessert?
I thought it
was
cool.
Man, it's a real thing, and man, I want to eat it because the astronauts ate it. What other things have you done in your life that the astronauts have done that you've said, oh, I want to do that because an astronaut did it, aside from going to space?
Math.
Oh my God, you don't like math.
I would try to do math, and I'd be like, my mom would be like, astronauts are great at math. I'd be like, well, I'm going to try.
So that was your motivation to do math, because your mom said astronauts do it?
Yeah. Like, you got to be good at it.
Wow, you're a real motivated young man.
I wanted to do math to be like an astronaut. And I wanted
Did you want to be an astronaut growing up?
I watched Apollo 13 and I was into it.
You wanted to be an astronaut after you watched the story about people in space that were not likely to make it home?
They got back. Yeah, I loved the danger. I was up for the challenge. I wanted to be freaking Kevin Bacon, like moving, like trying to keep the earth in the fucking window.
If you would have said to me, yeah, I watched Armageddon, I want to be an astronaut, I get it. But you watched the most real astronaut story that exists. Maybe there's some dramatizations, if you will. True. Or maybe Space Cowboys with Clint Eastwood. McFly, will you grab McFly? Sorry. Anyway, all right, well... Honestly, I'm not terribly thrilled with this ice cream sandwich and this ice cream in a bag. And
it tasted like crap.
It's not very good.
And it tastes even more like crap because now we know that astronauts didn't actually eat it.
Well, you know, thank you. I understand you're upset, Dan. I guess we can just, you know, chalk it up.
Do you remember people like coming to your school and being like, these are astronaut stuff. Here, try this ice cream, kids.
Nobody did that. They're astronauts selling, weren't allowed in Idaho.
It's just a falsehood. They're selling this thing in the gift shop at a Discovery Center for children, and then children will grow up their entire lives thinking that that once they become an astronaut, they're going to get this ice cream up there, and they won't.
So, again, people don't become astronauts to eat space ice cream. People become astronauts because they decided to do math. And become scientists, and they happen to be very good pilots, or they're very good at being a botanist or something sciency.
But the tiniest...
They don't do it to eat space ice cream.
But the tiniest I have ideas, Cody, can imprint on your brain. and make and shape you into the person that you are.
Okay.
As simple as if Inception has taught us anything.
Inception, the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
The simplest of ideas can change the path of someone's life. The simplest of ideas of maybe I can eat this ice cream in space.
You're absolutely right.
It's dangerous.
So what are you going to do to change your daughter's life?
I'm going to stand outside of Discovery Science Centers and tell people that this is a lie. I'm going to devote my life to this.
I'll be there. I'll be there to record that.
I'm going to devote my life to this.
All right. Well, space ice cream, if anybody ever gets an opportunity, check it out. Put it in your mouth and be disappointed.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just as fake as Santa. Sorry, Moxie.
You're the worst dad ever. Anyway.
Michael, mark this one. At 127, Moxie can't hear it.
Moxie can't hear this, so make sure you do a different voice, like somebody that's in the protection program.
Yeah.
I want to tell you about a company called JC Room Blocks. Do you have 10 or more out-of-town guests coming to an event near you? Maybe you have a bris, a wedding, a family reunion, a science convention. Maybe some friends are coming in town and they just want to get drunk in one place. Or your mom's coming into town and she's got 10 brothers and sisters and they need a room so they can all come over to your house and have a bagel. Well, I have the answer for you. JC Room Blocks. They research hotels in the area that you need the rooms. So if you're in San Diego, they're going to find those rooms. They're going to put them together for you. Oh, what? You need to be in Boston for a little bit? No big deal. Go over to Boston and hang out with your Boston friends. You got 10 or 15 of them and you need a room? Fucking Boston. That's what you're going to do. Since they're certified travel agents, they can get you the lowest possible rates. On top of discounted rates, they can also negotiate highly discounted bridal suites, shuttle service, and food and beverage functions. If you mention the Dan and Cody podcast, that's us, they'll waive their fee. That means you don't pay anything, okay? Check them out, jcroomblocks.com. I'm going to repeat that, jcroomblocks.com. They're on Facebook, they're on Twitter and Instagram. Follow them, check them out, get all them rooms!
So I'm driving today. I got McFly on my lap. He's riding with me today. He hung out with me this afternoon. And I'm like looking to turn right.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm kind of like pulling out to turn right on the road, I see a guy on his bike. And he's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
I don't know why that's funny.
Because anytime you see somebody do something that's supposed to be like good for you or healthy,
yeah,
and they're doing the opposite while it's happening. For example, I would love to see somebody run a marathon and smoke a cigarette while they're running a marathon. That's funny.
So he's riding a bike and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Like a cigarette is hanging out of his mouth. He's riding the bike and smoking.
Is he riding it for exercise or is he riding it as transportation?
No. To be honest with you, I think he's basically, I just got out of my probation meeting. I'm running late to work. Like that's kind of what I'm building that this is off of.
People are fucked up, man.
What's the unhealthiest thing you've ever done while doing something healthy?
Oh, man.
Did you ever like lift weights and smoke cigarettes?
I was just going to say, I went
to the gym smoking a cigarette.
No, I worked at a gym in D.C., Thomas Circle Sports Club. And this guy, he was pretty jacked, but he'd come in, he'd work out for literally like 2 hours. But every 15 minutes,
he'd go outside and take a
smoke. Outside and have a smoke. And I'd be like, what are you doing, dude? Like, what's the matter with you? Jenny used to get pissed at me because when I'd go to sleep in college, I would pull out like my wallet, my phone, my keys, my cigarettes, and my inhaler. And she'll tell you, she's like, that guy's, why is he such an idiot? Why does he keep his inhaler?
And then little do you know, she ends up marrying the bonehead.
That's right. But I don't smoke anymore, and I don't use an inhaler anymore.
Do you think that those two were connected?
No, well, I'm sure my asthma hurt more because of smoking.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So the problems helped each other.
So this weekend, so just so people know, this weekend Dan and I were at a birthday party.
Oh yeah,
for my nephew's birthday. He turned 1 year old.
Happy birthday, AJ.
Happy birthday, Autumn. Beautiful young boy. World and dreams ahead. A lifetime full of smiles.
The greatest adventure is waiting right ahead.
But we were out there, and there's a basketball court there. Oh, and I brought a ball. I have a ball in my car most of the time.
That's how Cody does it, man. He just keeps a ball in the car.
And I took a ball and I played basketball. I made everybody do all the work. And I was like a 12-year-old boy that went and played basketball. But I went up there and I played basketball. And then I went home. I picked up the dog. I brought the dog back to the park. And then I went back to the court. And this time Dan was there. So I said, Dan, let's go play ball. He's like, what?
Well, no, that's not how it went down.
What do you mean?
How it went down. Two people ran off with your ball.
That's right. And nobody's going to play ball without my ball, without me playing ball.
You're like, Dan, they got my ball. Let's go. And I was like, what are we? Are we going to jump these guys? Or are we going to get the ball back and then go back to the party? Or what? So we start shooting with them.
Yeah.
We start. If they're going to use the ball, they got to use the ball with Cody.
With me. I'm going to play ball. I got to. It's just the way it goes.
Right. So we started this thing just easy, just taking J's.
Yep, just shooting jump shots. We're out there shooting some jump shots. And then, like, I'm getting warmed up. Everybody else is getting warmed up. And I'm like, let's play a game, boys.
Yeah. So we did a 2-on-2.
We did a little 2-on-2.
And then another group of dudes showed up.
Well, they were already there.
Oh, they were already there.
They were already there. And I said, hey, you guys want to get a 3-on-3 in? And Dan, you guys should have seen Dan. I mean, I felt really bad for this guy.
What?
He was like breathing heavy, sweating like a machine. I felt like I was going to have to drag him off the court.
That is bullshit, because I have nothing but nice things to say about your game, Cody.
I'm not arguing about your game, man. I'm arguing about the number 7 LeBron James we got on the court. That's what I'm arguing about.
From a scale of Kevin James to LeBron James, how is my basketball?
Your basketball skills, you're 6 or 7 down in the post.
Six, huh? That's what's up.
Dude, LeBron James is a 10, okay?
Right.
So you can't, like if you're a 7 or an 8, that means you're, like, you got to be pro, right?
I got to tell you, man, I'm surprised that they kept that kid on me.
Which kid?
The short kid.
Ben.
They disrespected me.
They disrespected you. Dan's down low because Dan's got a big body. So he gets down. He plays the post. He's doing nice little Elijah 1 spin moves down in the post. He's keeping it low to the ground, low center of gravity.
Very low. I dribble low as hell.
Low as hell. And he goes up, and we, the first game of this 3-on-3, we couldn't find our groove, and they beat us real bad.
Yeah, we got smoked because
Dan was the only one that scored in that game because this dude was hitting like 3-pointers the whole
just
time.
Just nailing shots.
Every time he touched the ball, 3-pointer, 3-pointer. I'm like, oh, great. This is going to be one of those games, like playing Golden State.
But we got smoked, and they were like, all right, run it back. And then you gave me a look like, come on, let's do this. And I was like, all right, let's
fucking do this. We kicked it into gear because the problem was nobody was playing defense.
Right.
And then we played defense better, and it got better, but everybody then seemed to start getting tired at the end of the game.
Dude, I gotta admit, I was gassing.
You were gassing.
I was very tired. Like, I was saying, like, it's not like soccer where you're not always involved in the play.
No.
When you play soccer. So you have time to, like, jog a little bit, you know, watch the what's going on, check your man, if you're going to be involved soon, if you need to make yourself available.
Right.
Like, those are where you can take your little breaks. But 3-on-3, you're either on offense or defense.
Right.
All of the time.
Right.
And those quick cutting movements, man.
They're good, though.
I was sore, dude. My forearm is sore from, like...
Still?
From just taking shots.
Dan was down. He used a lot of wrists.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I got to say, Cody, it's can fun, dribble.
Man. It's fun.
Cody's got an outside jumper.
Yeah.
Your form is very good.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet of you. Thank you. Thank you.
It's paying off. Those like 5, 4 a.m. like gym sessions,
early
man.
Early gym sessions with those gym guys. No, it's fun. I like playing basketball. I like, it's a lot of fun. But we did end up losing the second game.
We did.
We were ahead for most of the game.
But we got tired, man.
And then... Mr. 3-point machine hit a couple.
He showed back up.
A couple shots and they got back up.
So. What was it, like 9-8? And then they won 11-9?
11-9, yeah.
Sons of bitches.
Well, you know.
That's but it was fun, man. That's the first time is that the first time we have ever sported together?
That was the first time you and I had ever sported with one another.
And I think we had some communication without communicating.
Yeah, there was some there was definitely some eye looks when I was at the top of the key. And there was some things I was wanting you to do. I was kind of doing like this little head thing.
Yeah, I was
doing this thing. And what I was hoping you would do is you had him posted up. And I was hoping what you'd do is you would do a quick spin.
Yeah, I
do. Do a quick spin to your left and then act, you know, kind of run to the hoop like you were about to get like a receiving pass
right.
Because you had that guy beat every time.
Yeah, he was
if you would have done that and then you kept him on the edge of the corner there and then you did a quick spin towards the hoop and I just put it over the top of him,
yeah,
you would have had it every single time.
Dude, they would have had to. That's why I was upset.
That's all right.
I was like, dude, get this. Somebody else guard me.
Yeah, right.
I wanted respect.
I know. Well, you got disrespected, but you know who got really disrespected?
Who?
McFly.
Yeah, he did.
So we're at this, and this is actually this week's
True Crime. Yes.
So we're at the park. Everybody's been to a park. You've experienced a park. You know what a park's like.
Slides, grills, grass.
Smiles, happiness, children running, playing.
Kids.
Basketball courts. Dan barely breathing. Me barely breathing from playing basketball.
Little children.
Right.
Playgrounds.
Yes, Moxie.
This was a beautiful park.
Beautiful day.
I think I kept saying, like, I can't believe how nice this park is, and I've never been.
Absolutely. So we're there. And we're cleaning up. It's the very last of us. And I go over and Madeline's mom's there. She's sitting next to McFly.
Mm-hmm.
And from the distance, I see McFly. And I'm thinking, something looks different about McFly. And I go up to him and I look at Liz. And I'm like, how's McFly doing? She's like, oh, he's just so tired. And I was like, okay, interesting. And I looked at him. And I was like, he just seems so odd. And I pick him up. And he's doing this, like, this kind this of like, weird little shake.
Right now, Cody.
How do you describe this, Dan?
Tourette's syndrome?
No, it's like Harry Carey. He's doing a Harry Carey shake. Hey there, guys. How you doing? Harry Carey.
For people listening at home, Cody looks like he's dancing like Chandler Bing from
Chandler
Friends.
Bing, that's a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
With a Harry Carey voice. Like, I just felt like he looked like Harry Carey. Like, hey there, guys, if the moon was cheese, would you eat it? Like, that's how McFly was moving. I was concerned. I picked him up. He was limping my body. He's normally limp when I carry him. He's not moving around a lot.
Were you like, did he have a lot of exercise today?
I assumed as much. And earlier in the morning, we took him to the vet and he had a vaccine placed within his body to fight disease. That's what vaccines do. And anyway.
So you're like, God damn it, he's going to have.
So I thought he was having a reaction to the vaccine. I thought he was weird. We get in the car.
You thought you gave him autism?
I thought I gave my dog autism. And. Madeline was in the car with us. Madeline and I get in the car and I'm like, Madeline, something's wrong with this dog. Madeline's like, it's okay. We're gonna get to the house. It's gonna be okay.
Is that your Maddie?
That's my Maddie. And then
I
was
okay.
Like, well, the thing is she was getting annoyed with me because I was doing this thing where it's like, son of a bitch. I knew I shouldn't have taken him to the park. Bad idea. Man, I just killed our dog. And I'm like,
you thought he was like sick.
I thought something was really, he was so weird. He looked at him like, look at him. He's not moving. He's shaking all funny. His eyes are all glazed over. I'm worried about him. We get it. So the idea is let's take him home because it was dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just need a little boost of dog energy.
Yeah.
Right? Let's get a little substance in the pup's body. So we sat him in front. So I put him down on the ground. This is the first time I put him on the ground. We get home.
Mm-hmm.
Put him on the ground. Food's there. He can't stand up.
Holy shit.
His back legs are like falling apart. And I looked at Madeline. I was like, I told you, something's wrong with him. And Madeline's like, it's going to be okay. We're going to take him to the vet.
I love this Maddie impression.
And so I was like, I don't know. I think I'm freaking out. I was freaking out.
So you take him to the vet.
So we get to the vet. And I have to say, we went to this emergency vet room.
Is it in Van Nuys?
It's in Sherman Oaks. It's in Studio City. and they're off of Ventura and Colfax.
Okay.
So we go in, we pull in, as we open the door, a vet tech comes right to us, like immediately. What's going on with the little guy? What's going on? And we're like, we don't know. We think there's a neurological problem. He can't walk with his back legs. He can't stand up.
You thought it was neurological?
Yeah, because if he can't walk. It was neurological. It was. Yeah. It was neurological. But anyway, so they're like, she's like, oh, or the person, I don't know if it was a man.
Were you guys crying?
It was a woman. No, nobody's crying. Nobody was crying. A little freaked out. So we hand off the dog, and they take him back, and Madeline and I are like standing, and we're kind of walking around. She sits down. I'm kind of pacing a little bit. I need water. I was drinking a lot of water, like McFly drinks water.
Is this like a dentist waiting room, or is this
it's
more
a
like
lot a, like a dentist waiting room?
It's more like an ER.
Except instead of teeth on the smiling faces, they have a dog with one eye. Who puts a picture of a dog with one eye on the wall? I don't want to see that. I don't want to walk in there with my sick dog and think, my dog's going to come out with one eye, or my dog's going to come out with no rear end.
That's a vet trying to like make up for like model dogs. Like, well, let's use a dog that looks like
shit.
Well,
it's also to say, hey, if your dog has something in its eye, no problem. He might lose it, but he'll be able to see out of the other one, and the arrow won't be sticking out of the other eye.
Right.
Just give the dog an eye patch.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's got sick animals on the walls, right? It's like, welcome to the sick animal clinic. And so we're sitting there, we're waiting, and we're like, okay, well, you know. How long are we going to wait? Are we going to hang out? They take us back to the room.
You don't go with them at first?
No. They took us back. They had like security doors. I actually, to be honest, pretty impressed with the service, minus the one-eyed dog that was on the wall.
Yeah.
So they take him. They'd be like, we're going to run some tests, and we'll get you back with the vet, and we'll be taken care of from there. No problem.
Is insurance for dogs like insurance for humans?
I don't know. We don't have it.
You don't have dog insurance?
We don't have dog insurance. We might be getting it after this little incident.
Yeah.
So we go back to the room. So they take us back to where the vet is going to talk with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we sit down, and we're sitting there, and I'm reading this interesting article on National Geographic about plastic.
You're reading?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to keep my mind off of things. But I'm reading about like plastics and how like in the last 15 years, all of the plastic that's in the ocean all over the world is here. Mm-hmm. And I'm fascinated. I have to tell you. Fascinated. I hope McFly's okay. But I'm fascinated by this plastic story. Then the vet walks in. This guy, probably 5'8", 5'9", thick, ripped dude. He's got cauliflower ear.
Oh, he's a fighter. Wrestler.
His name is Dr. Kavanaugh. Dude was great.
Kavanaugh.
Somebody comes in, he's like, okay, he starts asking us a series of questions.
He's a champion.
What happened with McFly today? What? What? Morgan Kavanaugh, the Morgan Kavanaugh. And he starts asking us all these questions about, like, what's happened with McFly? When did you start noticing the problem? Blah, 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 blah. Like, really good questions. And then he comes to the final section of his questions, and he said, is there any drugs in your home?
Oh.
And Madeline was blaming you. Well, he wasn't blaming. He was just asking. And Madeline and I are like, no. And Madeline's like, if we did, we'd tell you. And I kind of looked at her.
Did he give you a side eye like, uh-huh?
Madeline says,
So what time did you notice the problem?
Do you guys have any pot in the house? No, we don't have any pot. He basically said, he's like, well.
He called it pot.
He said, yeah, I guess he did. He did call it pot.
And marijuana.
He basically said, well, looking at McFly, it seems that he is under the influence of some kind of drug. And we're like, wow, okay.
Did he look at you like you were bad fur parents?
No, I don't think so. He wasn't judging us by any means. So he said, well, here's what we can do. And he went down this whole thing of what he could do. Yeah, we'll keep the dog on that, run fluids in him, check his pulse, make sure he's going to survive. We want to make sure that if it is what I think it is, which is marijuana, we want to make sure it's that. We don't want to make sure that it's something else. And then he said, and a lot of the times with dogs, if it is marijuana, we'll give them the drug test. And a lot of the time, it won't even tell us whether or not they did marijuana because it's too early, and it's not in their fats or something like that.
But they have a drug test for dogs.
It's the same one that he used for people, I guess, right? Uh-huh. Anyway.
Interesting.
So we're like, okay. And then he said, and then Madeline said something to him about, well, like, okay, well, what if we don't do that? Right?
Yeah. And I was like, well, what else can we do?
Yeah. What else can we do?
Without leaving him
overnight, because we would have to leave him overnight. And we felt weird about it. And Madeline felt more weird. I didn't feel too weird about it. But I knew when somebody says to me, we're going to keep your dog overnight and we're gonna watch it and make sure that there's nothing wrong with it. Immediately in my head, what pops in is just like literally my eyes had like $3 signs in them, right? Like, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, he's like, what we're really going to do is we're going to give him some food, put him in a cage and turn out the lights.
We're going to let him ride this thing out.
Yeah, then it's going to be tomorrow and then you're going to get him.
Our dog was so baked. Just absolutely, like McFly was just baked out of his mind. That's really what it comes down to.
He was banged up on the reefers.
Absolutely. So he says, well, let me write up an estimate and then I'll have my guy Chris come in and talk to you.
Chris is the billing.
Chris is his sales agent, right?
Uh-huh.
He's the guy that comes in and says, well, here's what Dr. Kavanaugh is going to do. He's going to do this, this, and this, and this. And here's the price. And then here's the price if any potential other things might pop up during the evening.
Man, just give him some Doritos and some Gatorade.
Right, right. And then basically, right, and then put a game controller in his paws.
Right.
And then he said, and then we asked him about the cheaper version, the conservative version, as Dr. Kavanaugh stated.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up telling us, okay, well, he didn't say anything about that. Let me go get that. And then he showed us the price on that. And then, so he's standing there and I'm like, well, I see what you've got here. Do you have like a AAA discount or something that, you know, isn't this expensive? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, this is the price. And I said, okay, right, okay.
Did you ask, like, so what happens if we...
need some time to think about it.
Were you like, what happens if we just go right now?
Yes, I did. And he said, that is against my recommendation, is what the doctor said to me.
Well, of course it's against his recommendation.
That's absolutely right. That's
absolutely
right.
He wants the quiche.
He wants the quiche, right, right.
So then the doctor
comes in after Chris leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in and he's like, well... And Chris must have talked to him.
And Chris was like, they don't want to pay it.
It's basically what it comes down to is like, here's the first price. They're balking at it, right? Like,
yeah,
this is the first price.
Let's give them the real price.
Yeah, exactly, right? Here's the price we're going to give to, like, you know, relatively conscious people about their dog, not the person that's panicking. You're like, whatever it costs, just make sure my dog survives.
Fluffy, no.
Which, to be fair, like, we'd do anything for McFly, but I'm going to ask, you know, we got to ask some questions or ask for our AAA discount.
So they gave you the whatever it takes price.
They gave me the whatever it takes price right off the bat. You always got to give the whatever it takes.
Got to give them the whatever it takes.
And then he comes back in and he said, well, let me put up another estimate and see what we can do. So, and I'll send Chris back in here. So then Chris comes back and, like, it is 30% less than what the original price was that they quoted us.
So what, they're just, was there any difference in what they're providing? Or were they just like whipping up?
He removed one test that he thought that was unnecessary. Then why did you give it me?
Why'd you put it on there?
What? What'd you say, Madge?
Most of it was just like, we'll give you these things for free.
Yeah, most of it was, we'll give you these things for free. He gave discounts. He wrote little discount lines in there. And he, so you were giving this to you? And I was like, okay, all right, that's fine.
These guys are as bad as the automotive industry.
You know, I
well, see,
here's the thing, is I understand, like, you're a business, like, there's no way they keep these doors open by doing free service to animals,
right?
And I imagine majority of their pets or people that they end up coming in, I know he basically said that they get two of these things a night because marijuana is free. And marijuana is not free. Marijuana is legal in the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
And so people don't take care of it and their dog gets into it. And it is toxic to dogs.
So this is a larger issue that, like, in, especially in California, that pets are eating marijuana.
Yeah.
Just on a regular basis.
I mean, it's not just pets. Kids.
Kids are eating it.
Like, that's the big issue, right? Like, you know, you got to be responsible if you're going to do these drugs. And the people that... You know, there's people that aren't responsible with it, and they, you know.
Right. It's just on the table.
It's on the table, and Fido gets a hold of it.
It's on the street or in the park.
Yeah, and happens to be for us, that's what makes this our true crime for the week.
Dude.
Somebody threw some weed in the park and let McFly eat it, and I wonder if it's intentional.
In 1998, at the height of my marijuana consumption, if a little speck of marijuana fell on the ground or outside of the joint or the blunt or the bowl or the bong, I was picking it up with my finger like a crumb and dropping that back in. We were careful because that shit was expensive when you're a kid. You know how much lunch money I had to save up?
Dear God, damn. This is crazy. You know, lunch money?
I would have to not eat lunch for like 3 days to buy a bag of weed.
You want to know what's funny? In 1998, Dan, I was 13 years old, and I was saving up to buy a yo-yo that would shoot back into my hand, and you're buying dime bags
on
the street.
I'm buying weed, son! As the teacher leaves the room. Oh, man. So... Here are my questions.
Shoot.
One, let's say you, Maddie, and McFly were like, let him sleep it off. He would have come through, correct?
I think he would have come through. I mean, like, I don't think he's going to die. Like, thinking back on it, there's no way he's going to die.
You can't die from weed,
I mean, basically, they put him on fluids. They gave him an IV.
Yeah.
They ran fluids in him all night. They did the test to make sure that he was on drugs. And you know how I said earlier that normally they run the test and with marijuana it normally doesn't show up?
Yeah.
He said it was there.
It was up in there.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. So he must have had...
He ate like a little nugget.
He must have had... I mean, and he was only...
Because he's what? 15 pounds,
right?
Yeah.
So like he eats that. He is... Like honestly, he looked up at me and I... What's the best way to describe... The way he would look at me.
Like, I'm so banged up right now.
Like, it was just kind of just like, it was.
Your dog was high as shit.
I mean, he's just like looking up, like, his eyes are like, are you going to help me? Like, you know, it was like he was begging for being taken care of. But
how old is he?
He's 12 weeks. We're the worst parents in the
world. He's 12 weeks. Could you imagine being a baby and being that?
That's
son?
What I told Madeline. I was like, imagine if Moxie's walking in there and she's putting things in her mouth. She was in the same park.
Yeah. A kid could have ate it.
I mean, a dog has the smell. Like, they're going to smell stinky stuff out and they're going to eat it. That's what dogs do.
Yeah, I'm upset about just the sheer waste of the drug. Like, somebody rolling it in the park or, like, putting it whatever, just careless. Yeah,
kids,
I mean,
don't
come
know
on.
How they're good to have it as
back in the day, you had to hide this stuff in like in a suit jacket that's in the back of your closet that's like rolled up in a sock that's like put away in a box. Like you really, and you had to remember all of that because you probably put it away when you were real stoned and paranoid. So then, like, you have to become unhigh and then remember how high you were and what depths you went to like store this stuff.
And you're basically a dog hiding a bone.
Yeah, like no dog could get into it. No baby could find it. And now these little pipsqueaks today are just in parks like, fuck it, and throwing their weed all over the place. It's messed up, man.
Weed, all right.
You need to value your shit.
Yeah, well, that's this week's
true crime. I'm glad old McFly's better.
He's better. He's back to his old, I'm going to chew everything. See, he's on the chew diet, so. Just so everybody knows, last week I talked about a 19-year-old couple.
Oh, yeah, that, the update.
A 19-year-old couple that hired a hitman to kill his dad so that he could take over the jewelry business that his family owned. And... take their life insurance money, and there has been no update on the news. I couldn't find anything.
I saw a little thing.
You did?
The mother is siding with the son.
Really?
Because the mother wasn't killed, right?
Yeah, the mother was not killed. The dog was killed, and the father was killed by somebody that had broke into the home and killed the father.
Yeah, her stance now is that There's no way my son could have orchestrated this.
Yet, her son asked an undercover police officer to kill him.
A mother's love.
Anyway.
That's a son only a mother could love.
Yeah, well, you know.
Okay. Guys, the world is a scary place. And this is when animals attack.
Oh, no. Oh, is that what this is? Is this the alligator?
No. I saw that one, though. Where the alligator bit that woman. They found her arm. Yeah.
When animals attack.
That was a good one. I got a better one.
Okay, let's hear your when animals attack segment.
Okay. Pet monkey attacks a Home Depot worker in Florida. And this is in, how do you say this? Okeechobee? Okeechobee, Florida.
Pamela is from Florida, for those of you that don't know that, which is everybody.
Yeah, so this monkey, his name is Spanky.
Spanky.
And he escaped his owner's truck, and he's a spider monkey. And he was on a leash, but he somehow managed to get out of the car, and he found a 50-year-old person in the break room, a 50-year-old woman in a break room, and she heard her coworkers yelling that there was a monkey on the loose in Home Depot, but she thought it was a joke. And she found the monkey, and she went to grab Spanky's leash, and it climbed on her back and bit her twice.
Holy cow.
She grabbed the leash again to look for the owner, but the sliding glass doors to the entrance opened, and the monkey got scared and then bit her arm and hand and then scratched her face.
Pamela, do you know, you've spent a lot of time in Florida. Do you happen to recall a lot of ape and monkey owners?
I just listen to the news, and there's a lot of weird stuff.
So much.
There man. Is a, and Dan, and I, Florida Man.
Yeah.
You know Florida Man.
I know Florida Man.
Do you know Florida Man?
Florida Man?
Yeah, have you heard of Florida Man?
I don't know.
So, Pamela, just so you know, there is a Twitter handle called Florida Man. And what this person does is he posts all the news articles that he finds that all start with a Florida man. And it's always weird,
like crazy stuff.
Like
Florida man eats the face of neighbor.
Right, exactly.
like that.
Oh, here we go. Here's one. Here's a great one. Florida man arrested after he allegedly paid for one donut, stole two others from Walmart. just really, really, really... really dumb stuff. Floridaman.com for all of you that are out there.
Check it out.
Yeah.
But just to finish this one, the family members of Spanky, the owners, says that Spanky's gone to Home Depot numerous times and usually goes inside. So, so this was like a crazy occurrence. Spanky was in the car. They didn't bring him inside, and Spanky was like, what the fuck? Why am I not going in?
Right.
So he breaks out of the car and then was mad at everybody and then got approached and then started biting people. They describe him as smart and like a family member.
Okay.
Spanky. Do you have to put Spanky down if they wanted if the person that Spanky bit is like, you need to euthanize that monkey now? Do you have to do it?
I don't know if you need a license to own a monkey. Yeah, you might have them taken away. I don't know the rules.
Lawsuits by having them put down.
Yeah. But if you get bit by a monkey and you're like, "Hey, it's cool. We're good. I'll just clean these up. He's got tetanus." Fine. Can you just go about your business, or does someone intervene? Like if a cop, like
a pet monkey.
You don't think you can what? I don't know if you can have a monkey. I think maybe you can.
A pet spider monkey?
I think you can have a pet spider monkey. Right?
If you have a pet monkey, let us know what the rules
are. What
are
the rules on that? And while Pamela's going to look up whether or not you can actually own a monkey. While she's doing that, I'm going to throw a Florida man out at us.
Look at this.
Here's a great one from May 29th. Florida man caught masturbating tells officer he's Captain Kirk. Oh, anyway.
Look at that bite.
Oh, yeah, that's a real bite, all right.
Got him right in the arm.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible, terrible, terrible.
So, guys, watch out. Watch out for spider monkeys in Florida. Watch out for coyotes on your hiking trails. These things will eat you, and they will attack you. Mm. These are not your furry little friends you see in the Disney cartoons. I got another one. There was three elk attacks at Yellowstone National Park. Three separate ones. They think two are related.
What does that mean? Like two elk work together to do this?
No, it's the same elk attacked two different people on two separate occasions. Because it's like calving season.
Okay.
At Yellowstone.
Right.
And like they hide their calves like kind of like between buildings and shit.
Really?
Yeah. And like if you walk outside and like the mother elk sees you, they're going to kick your ass. And the elks will mess you up. They will hoof you in the face. So have you seen those videos of like people getting beat up by deers and stuff? It's like that, but an elk.
Some of the most dangerous animals in the world are these animals. Like a moose.
Like,
it's one of the most, if not the most dangerous animal in the world.
You could not survive a moose kick in the face.
Yeah. Anyway, what do we got, Pamela?
It says basically you have to have a permit.
Pamela says you have to have a permit. And while she said that, I came across another Florida man. This one's great. Florida man punches cars, challenges everyone to fight him at Chili's.
All right.
Like my brother who sends pictures of his dog with surgery and then tells me that he got attacked by an alligator.
Oh, perfect. Pamela's brother. So a Florida man, a.k.a. Pamela's brother, has a dog that has surgery, sends them to Pamela, and says that he has been attacked by a dog.
No, an alligator.
An alligator. Even better. There you go.
And we believed it.
That's nice. Guys, we do. We got a new review this week.
All right, let's do the review.
One review titled, Why Haven't I Left You a Review Before? By Monum DC.
What is it? Come on, Dan. Let me
Monica.
See
Monica. This is Monica from the Nerd Fails podcast. And I'm here to declare the Dan and Cody podcast is so good, you should go back and listen to all the episodes as I did.
Do it.
Download every one of them shows.
Take the time. Learn.
You will not be disappointed. This show about nothing is everything.
About something.
It will keep you laughing. Whether you're a man or a woman. Exclamation point.
There you go.
Thank you, Monica. We appreciate that very, very much.
Yep.
And we love you, and we love everybody.
Yeah, and on that note, we want to thank you guys for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast, and enjoy this little tune by Ashanti, Foolish, as we exit for the night.
And remember, astronaut ice cream is a lie.
Okay. See, my days are cool without you.
And I'm hurting while I'm with you. Thanks for listening and laughing with the Dan and Cody podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram @DanCodyPodcast. Check out our website, danandcody.com, and you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/DanCodyPodcast.
Subscribe, bitch!
Everybody play the tough guy to shoot, all right?